Good morning!
And happy Halloween!
This is a Halloween, a what?
A spooky edition.
Spooky edition of the Morning Shift. I am he, and he is I, Squidbilly Bo Morgan. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon.
Look, no.
Hey.
We've stomached the whole good morning thing.
Don't ask him.
I will not stand for you to say I am he.
Don't ask him what the P stands for and Mikey P. Johnson.
That's me putting my foot down.
Well, you can put that size 19 down because this size 8.5 is going to run right over you.
Well, it's going to hurt when this thing goes somewhere where the sun don't shine because you're not doing that again. Can't stand for it. Won't stand for it. It is a spooky edition, though, man. What's funny is I haven't dressed up in a while, and I get, obviously with the kids nowadays.
What are you going
for? My wife asked me to be Gru, and I was like, nah, man.
Who's
like
that?
Just Gru is the guy from Despicable Me. The Minions movies and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's fat, he's bald, he's got a big nose. So I'm just like, nah, I don't think that's gonna be my vibe. But my kids have like 3 Halloween costumes. There's no guarantee that they're going as Minions, which is one of their costumes, and that's why she wanted me to be Gru. So I was like, no, thank you.
You should do your kids when they get old enough to go to watch the Goonies. You should let them watch it, and then you could go as Sloth, and they would know.
I don't think I've ever seen the Goonies.
You never seen the Goonies? Dylan? No. Dylan? Oh, my
God.
I've seen the Goonies multiple times.
Dylan?
I can't believe he hasn't seen the Goonies.
If you were inside this room right now, I would hug and kiss you.
Here's the thing. How many times do we have to have this conversation?
I've seen the Goonies. I love the Goonies. That's one of my favorite movies. I got to check.
I think maybe like 89.
Dylan, have you seen Hocus Pocus?
The Disney Channel movie?
Actually, it's not a
now.
That movie came out in theaters.
Did
the original Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, the original Hocus Pocus.
85. The Goonies came out in 85.
I have seen Hocus Pocus.
I think they did a remake, though, that was on the Disney Channel, unless it's not the original. It might be the original, but I think they did a Hocus Pocus 2 recently, right?
Yeah, they did do a Hocus Pocus 2. I haven't seen the second one, but I've seen the original.
Okay, good. I was just making sure.
The Goonies has a star-studded cast, man.
First 1985,
off,
dude. Come on.
First off, Richard Donner. He directed it, and he's done a lot of good movies as director. Steven Spielberg wrote the story. It's got Sean Astin, that's Rudy, if you don't know. Also, Samwise Gamgee and the Lord of the Rings.
What Halloween costumes were they?
Josh Brolin. Nothing. It was you could go as Sloth.
Oh, you're saying I should have dressed up as one of the people from the Goonies.
Yeah, Google Sloth from the Goonies.
I don't think as many people would have gotten that as you think they would.
I think most people would have gotten it.
I don't know. Do you think it's a cult classic?
It is a cult classic.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen it.
If Dylan's seen it, you know it's a cult classic.
Yeah, that's true. And it came out in 85.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Dylan was born, 10 years later?
11
years later.
Did you watch it as a kid, or have you and Simone watched that together? I'm just curious how you
found it. I've watched it recently as an older adult, but when I first watched it, I was a kid. I was actually, we were talking about the other day, I was at when I visit my cousin when they used to live in California. Actually, that was the first time I was introduced to it. Like, they knew of the movie, and I hadn't seen it yet, so we all watched it together one night, and I absolutely loved it. So, the first time I was introduced to it was a kid. I was probably, somewhere around teenage, 14 or something like that.
I mean, the only reason I say that is that the guy that played Sloth played the NFL. John Matusak.
Gotcha.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, he played. I think he played for the Raiders.
Dude, it wasn't until a year ago that I realized that Seabass was the president
Cam Neely.
Of the Bruins.
Well, he wasn't when he was in that movie.
I know.
He wasn't
when
he was in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, when he got promoted, though, I was like, oh, man, this is crazy.
It's a Hall of Fame hockey player, bro.
Yeah, it's a Hall of Fame movie, too. The Goonies probably not, but I don't know.
Like we said, it is Halloween. Last night, the Bronx turned into House of Horrors for the Yankees. They're up 5-0.
Yeah.
And the wheels come off. Aaron Judge hits a homer. Giancarlo Stanton, Jazz Chisholm hits a, was it Chisholm that hit the homer?
Yeah, he hit a tater.
It was back to back for him and Judge. And
Rizzo was on deck, got his fist in there. He's like, yeah.
They're up 5-0, and then the wheels come off. You know, Aaron Judge has what I would call a routine pop up in center, and he just drops it. And he just took it. You could see there was a guy on, so he takes his eyes off for a split second. He drops it, and then it just led to a calamity of errors for the Yankees. It ended up tying, and they retake the lead, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And then the Dodgers come through again. Freddie Freeman did not hit a home run last night. However, he had two more RBIs, 12 total, which is a Dodgers franchise record in a playoff series.
How did you feel when the Dodgers won? Like, how? What was your we haven't talked about whether or not you were pulling for one team and the other. I was. I'm curious.
So, I am a lifelong Yankees hater.
Yeah.
I did not realize that I hated the Yankees until 1996, and then they broke my heart. Charlie Hayes, Jim Leyritz, hits a home run. You know, Andrew Jones, at 1996 World Series, Andrew Jones is a 19-year-old kid.
Isn't that wild?
He hits two home runs, and I think it was game one or two. Braves go up 2-0 in the series, come home. They're about to go up 3-0 in the series. Series is over if they win that game. And Jim Leyritz hits a homer off Mark Wohlers at the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that. And
I'm with
ruined,
you though, man.
That ruined broke my heart.
We talked about this before. I try not to hate anything or anybody. Like, I don't like hate.
Teams are okay to hate. You don't hate their players.
Well, and here's the thing. Hate is a strong word to me in my house, and I don't like to use it. But I do. I am a lifelong Yankees hater. The problem is that the Dodgers have done everything kind of in the image of the Yankees. You know what I mean? They've kind of turned into the Yankees of the West Coast. The thing I hate about the Yankees is the money they spend and the way they go about their business. And last night, in whatever inning it was that you're talking about, it turned into the house of the horrors and fell apart. That was, to me, the best thing ever. Because I was like, this is a microcosm of you can't buy a championship. You have to do the little things right. But the problem is, on the flip side, Dodgers did a lot of the same stuff, right? They've spent more, you know, if not more money.
But
right?
See, I didn't even get there. I've always hated the Dodgers, too.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because Mike and John Fricke does the best job on the radio station of explaining the rivalry, that why people, if you came here after like 1994, you don't realize why Braves fans have always hated Dodgers fans. For some reason, Atlanta teams, when they were created in 66, or moved here in 66, they were put in the NFC West and the NL West in their sport, in the Braves and the Falcons, right? So we played the Dodgers every year, and we hated them. And they spent money. They spend money now, but they were always beating us. So I've always seen the Dodgers. So it's kind of a torn, but I'm like, lesser of two evils. However, we both have Yankees ties. My neighbor across the street is a huge Yankees fan, and he's from that area originally, and it was where he was born. And so it's hard for me to see. He's a guy that has always pulled for my teams. Every time the Falcons wins, he's like, hey, man, that was a good game for y'all.
No. Hell, you're not going to do this.
Let me finish. When the Braves played in the World Series, he was pulling for the Braves for me. So I was torn on, I just feel bad pulling again. I want to see him at least have something out of it. So I was almost to a fact where I become neutral.
Don't you let him get away with this. He's having fanhood by extension, and I won't let you stand for this. Fanhood by extension, Dylon, does not happen. Doesn't let you get away with
said.
The Eagles thing.
Hold
because
on,
your girlfriend likes the Eagles.
Hold on.
And here
true.
You are but talking about, my neighbor always pulls for my squad.
But Dylan, did I ever say I was pulling for them? I just said I had a hard time pulling for their demise, but I hate both teams, so I'm losing either way.
Look.
Either way, I have to see the Dodgers or the Yankees win the World Series. I'm screwed no matter what. I just, honestly, I had no emotion. I woke up at 11:45 last night as the game was about to end. I'd fallen asleep. I woke up. I watched the final inning, and I sat there, and I was like, I don't feel any way about this. There's nothing good for this at all.
So you were, but I'm sure you guys both were happy for Freddie, right? I mean,
well, and that's the other
really.
Part.
You weren't happy for Freddie?
I was.
I didn't mind.
I was.
He's went through a rough year.
Yeah.
I think we forget that not only did this guy miss most of the or some of the NLCS with this ankle issue.
Yeah.
But also the stuff that happened with his son is brutal. And so as the human element of him as a father fighting through adversity this season, that did not hurt my heart at all to see that. I was not opposed to seeing that at all.
Yeah, that was the biggest story to me when it comes to Freddie Freeman and the MVP race and everything else going on. I love to see it, man. And I don't know. I didn't have any hard feelings toward it. I was glad the Yankees lost.
Yeah. I would have been glad the Dodgers lost, too. They both could lose, and I would have been happy.
Stadium just go into the ground.
It's just one of those deals where you don't really have a feeling because you don't like either team. But you know what? Our team, plays Sunday against a team I've always despised.
Team we do like.
I've never been a Cowboys guy. I've always despised them. So it's going to be easy for me on Sunday because, you know, the Falcons are my team. Mike and I are going to talk about how the Falcons in 1 month have went from one of the worst third down teams on offense to one of the best. Yeah. Next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
The Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift, a spooky edition. Woo! You like that? Well, you know what, dude? You know what would be great costumes for us? You know what would be perfect costumes for us 1 year? If we hung out at a Halloween party
if
together.
If you say Robin Big, I'm going to punch you.
No, no, no. Well, close, though. It's actually
Twins,
very close.
Danny DeVito, Arnold.
No. Although that's a good one, too. How about... Me and Bo go as Undertaker and Paul Bearer 1 year. Undertaker.
Oh, dead man. Let me tell you something, old
dude,
Warrior.
Tell me that we would not win Halloween. Tell me we would not win best dressed at a costume party
my
if we
went
as Paul Bearer and the Undertaker.
My dad is going to kill me right now. But my dad is he was actually 5'10" at one point in time. He's always taller than me, but he's always been kind of in shape, but he's had a mustache my entire life, but
sure.
Not like a child molester one, like a regular, like, you know, thick enough. You better dump that, Dylan. I probably shouldn't have said that. But you know, he's always had a thick mustache.
Yeah.
And he, when we were in high school, he started like dyeing his hair. I'm pretty sure it was.
A little Just for Men action. Just,
but cause you know, he's
touch of gray.
Like he's always conscious of want to keep it, you know, professionally and you know, aging out
there's
and stuff.
Wrong with that.
It was there's obviously an age discrimination thing that has happened at some point in time in this country, and so I said, well, he started calling him because of the way he had his haircut. I was like, I looked at my best friend. I was like, man, my dad. I was like, well, he's got a little Paul Bearer look going with the hair dye.
little John Travolta these days.
Well, I know.
John Travolta got that, you know, that real hard hair color right in the front, man.
So he started calling him Paul Barron.
Oh, man.
My dad got so mad.
Your dad dirty like that, man.
Yeah,
shout out
he
to,
got mad at us.
The father squid.
Grandpappy
squid. Hey, speaking of which, and we're going to get to the Falcons Cowboys news here in just a second. Huge injury news coming out of Dallas. Has your parents, are they going to stick with their same grandparents' names when your child comes along?
They chose those, and
I was gonna say,
and I'm gonna have to fight that, but no, that's fine. Dude,
I'll leave it alone too. I went down the same path that you're talking about.
You didn't had to deal with that.
Name. Yeah, didn't love the name. Tried to change it, didn't stick.
Well,
and here we are.
My mom's name is Ma'am. That's what they call her,
Ma'am.
And
yes, ma'am.
Because I don't think my grandmother. I don't think my mom wanted to be called Grandma. Or a granny or anything like that.
I don't think most of them don't anymore.
You know why? Because we're kind of a generation where, or our parents' generation is kind of one of those where they don't want to be dated like that.
Right. Yeah, well, it sounds old. That's fine. All right, so two of Dallas's top defensive playmakers, De'Ron Bland and Micah Parsons, getting a little closer to their on-field returns. It looks to me like reading some of the injury statuses yesterday, Bo, that both guys working with the injured group off to the side yesterday in practice, De'Ron Bland coming off of IR, obviously. If you listen to Mike McCarthy's presser, however, it sounds like that De'Ron Bland coming off IR might be closer to return maybe than Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, he said today, would still be off to the side, and the goal was to get De'Ron Bland back in pads today. Are you any more nervous about this game than you would have been otherwise with the thought that De'Ron Bland is back in the mix?
No. Micah Parsons is the one that worried me. I know De'Ron Bland's a good player, but no. It may be a little bit more if this was 22 or 23.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, I trust – look, Antoine Winfield came back last week, and I know they're different. They do different things.
And Kalijah Kansi.
But Kalijah Kansi worried me more than Antoine Winfield did coming back.
Interesting. All right.
Because, you know, we're a little banged up front. I know that I don't want to jump the gun here, but I know the Falcons have designated Drew Dahlman to return.
Yeah.
And so his window is open is all it does. I think Ryan Neuzel plays again. But that's, you know, Neuzel, knowing that Bergeron had left the game the week before going into Tampa, but worried me. When Lindstrom didn't practice yesterday, because of the same reason he left. I think personally he'll play.
Got rolled up, yeah.
I think that the outlook, me looking at it, now I've been wrong before. I had it was funny because people on Twitter love to try to go back a month or two at a time and try to play gotcha. And I had a guy try to play gotcha with me yesterday. Oh, see, you didn't think Troy Anderson was a big deal. You said it because he's not on the IR. It's not a big deal, but he's missed a month. And I said, yeah, and he's still not on the IR. And when guys are not on the IR, it makes me think that it's not something they think is that could keep him out for months at a time.
It's week to week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it is.
It's clearly kept him out a month now, almost.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I thought because of that. You said it was week to week. So when guys don't go on the IR, I'm not as worried.
Where do you think we are right now on the Troy Anderson thing? Because I saw yesterday the practice report that J.D. Bertrand was out with a concussion yesterday in the Falcons injury report. And with all the roster moves going on, I know we signed another linebacker, I think, to P-Squad yesterday. I have questions about what the linebacking core is.
Well, Rashawn Evans is back on the practice squad last I saw, and they did sign another guy. I think he's day-to-day.
Yeah.
It's
hard to go any further than that.
But he practiced last week.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he practiced last week, didn't play, now he doesn't practice yesterday. I think if it was a playoff game, he'd be going.
Yeah.
So how do you view this game? I think you're going to see how he feels Friday. I think he's day-to-day. I think he's week-to-week. Like you said, I don't know. At this point, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he's closer to playing today than he's not, and I think that's a good thing. I think there's a chance. I think if you absolutely need him, he could go.
Yeah. One of the things you and I came in the office talking about today was, you know, the end of Kirktober. Today is October 31st. Kirktober has come into a close. We loved Kirktober. What did that mean for the Atlanta Falcons? Well, obviously you got some big wins. You had some rough losses along the way, but the numbers that you and I were kind of breaking down, and speaking of Deron Bland and Micah Parsons, right? We're talking about third down percentage. And it kind of started, you know, picking up dust and picking steam when we started looking more at what October was. The third down percentage has gone through the roof. And this was to be honest, this is a conversation that Chris Goforth and I have had on the post game every week, it seems like. And I don't know that I understood the totality of what October was until we started looking at it this morning, because I've gone kind of week to week and you look at the percentage and you knew there would be correction, right? We come out of the Pittsburgh game. It was awful. Every third down percentage in preseason was awful, but Kirk didn't play. All right. And so you moved on from there and it's 26 and 30. And then you and I got into the numbers this morning and started breaking it down, and you can go over them, but October was a new chapter, my friend, as far as the third down percentage goes.
Yeah, so after the Saints game, Mike, they're 29th in the league on third down conversions.
So that would be after week four?
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, let's just go by the dates of the games. Going into the October 3rd game, a Thursday night game against Tampa Bay, they were 29th in the league, converting 26.3% of their third downs.
Mm, okay. All right.
Going into now, they were 6 of 14 in that game.
Okay, against the Buccaneers on Thursday night.
Yeah, 43%.
Right,
right at.
It's okay. I mean, that's good. Right. You throw for 500 yards. You think it's probably higher than that? But it's fine.
Well, I think you didn't. Well, you only had 14. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's phenomenal. After converting 26%.
Yes.
In the first 4 weeks. Converting 42.9 is phenomenal.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So that's after the Bucs game. You got 43% against the Bucs and your ratings climb on the season.
Yeah. So now you're at 30.8%. You're
on the season.
On the 6th in the league after the Tampa Bay game. That's going into the Carolina game. You converted 50% in that game, 6 of 12. So after the Carolina game on October 20th, going into the October 20th matchup with the Seahawks, you are 23rd in the league in third down conversions at 34.4%.
Okay, so let me. There's two games in October now. So you're saying 43% against Tampa on Thursday night, and then you back that up with a 50% against the Panthers the next week.
Yeah, and a win.
All right, so now we're going in the right direction.
So after the Seahawks game, which you converted 8 of 15, believe it or not, you were actually 53%.
Okay, now we're still going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Now we're 53%. So now our third down percentages in October are 43, 50, and 53. Even though the Seahawks game, you look at it and you go, man, that was probably one of our worst games.
It was. I think it was your worst game all year.
Yeah.
Not offensively, but overall. I mean, just as a whole, as a totality.
Pittsburgh. I'm getting to the point, and I want to get to. I'm getting to the point where I'm just not including Pittsburgh in anything.
So just, yeah, well, I thought Kirk Cousins said something telling yesterday in his interview with Duke Sumbel, where they asked him about the offense and his and I'm not sure if it's his cut or not that Dylan has for me, where he talks about the growth of the offense, but they literally talked to him and he was like he said, oh man, you're on the same page with Zach Robinson and everything. He goes, yeah. I would have said after the Steelers game, I don't think we're speaking the same language. But here's Kirk on the growth of the offense before we finish our third down numbers.
Yeah, I think it's a work in progress in the sense that, like, week one after the Pittsburgh game, I wouldn't have told you that we had great chemistry. So, like, it's a little bit of a...
Neither did we!
Yeah, right, exactly. So there's a little bit of, like, every week just trying to stack the experiences, have good conversations, ask good questions, get on the same page, and then see how that carries over the next week. And the same would be said for my teammates of, hey, Drake, I didn't know you were going to do that. Like, let's talk about that, because if you do that, I can get you the ball. I just wasn't aware. So every week trying to get more on the same page and believing that in doing that we're going to be better and better, you know, as we move forward.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. So you get on the same page, and you start speaking the same language, and yeah, the third down percentage starts going up. Hit me with that fourth third down percentage this month.
So you roll into Tampa Bay at 38%. You're 19th in the league. And you convert 50% again. You were 6 of 12 again.
Now we're talking.
So now you're rolling into this Dallas game. Rolling in, I'm like, you go into this Dallas game, and you are 39.6% conversion rate on third downs for the season, which puts you at 12th in the league. That is top 15. That's a top tier. That's top half of the league. So the way you gained 17 spots and 13.3 percentage points. The way you did that was converting 26 of 53 in the month.
Numbers wise,
26 of 53 in the month of October. 49% conversion rate in the month of October.
Boom.
I mean,
come on, dude.
So you really made a huge gain in the month of October on third downs.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable when you consider how bad it was before. Pretty unbelievable when you consider how bad it was before, man. So shout out to Kirk Tober. A lot of fun in that aspect of it. Look, coming up on the other side, college football. It's the cocktail party. There's been a lot of words talked about on the future and the location of this game. We'll talk about the other side. Also, just for good luck, Bo's going to sleep in his car this weekend for old time's sake. Yeah,
I drive a truck.
We'll be back in just a minute here on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. You are rocking out over there. Wait, tell me what this...
You don't know this?
No, I do know it. I just can't
tell
you who it is. But it's old, and I feel like it was in... They might have used it in... since it is Halloween. What was that witch movie called? It was like an all-girl group.
Yeah, we were talking about it
Hocus Pocus?
No. This was like...
I know what you're talking about. It was like in the late 90s.
Yes.
And is it Neve Campbell was in it?
Yes, Neve Campbell. I'm going to look at Neve Campbell witch movie is what I'm going to Google. Anyway, I think this might have been in it.
Probably. This is a band called White Zombie. It was Rob Zombie, who makes a lot of horror movies. It was his original band. And then he broke off from the band. This was Astro Creep 2000 album. Yeah.
That's actually alarming that you know that much. But
I've seen Rob's...
The Craft.
The Craft, yeah. That's it.
I never heard of that one either. Never heard of that one either.
Yeah, you just... You know, you...
It's just a black hole in the history for me.
No, it's like on the Cruel Intentions level.
Cruel Intentions is a phenomenal movie.
Classic. It is a good movie. I have definitely watched that one
before. Tiffany, real quick, have you seen The Goonies?
Yes, but it's been a really long time. And I do understand that, yes, that is another, like, cult classic thing.
Mike hasn't seen it. That's why we ask.
Oh, it's been a minute. And I can't even tell you if I've seen it in its entirety.
The reason Dylan's...
I know clips.
Dylan's playing a lot of Rob Zombie, White Zombie. That's like... He's like a how... I've seen him in concert. I saw him at the Tabernacle. And it is like... I actually saw him at Ozfest, too, one year. But it's... He's got like a whole horror kind of setup. Like, it's like... It's a weird vibe, but if you like kind of rock music with a little bit of like techno feel to it, Rob Zombie's your guy.
Sure. All right.
Is that a techno feel
strange,
to it?
Strange combination, but nonetheless, I'm sure it's entertaining.
I don't know, techno might be a wrong word, but
Tip, before we get to college football, the headlines, I have a question for y'all. And I guess, Tiff, you can't answer this, but do you miss Gary Danielson at all? Like, I've been looking at a couple of Gary Danielson interviews that have been on CBS HQ the last couple of days, and I'm like, man, I kind of, like, haven't even thought about the fact that I haven't heard Gary this
year. He's still doing games.
Yeah, I know, but.
But we just don't watch a lot of Big Ten.
That's my point.
We're more.
Do you miss him as part of the Gator broadcast, or for me, the Bama or Georgia fans?
No, I'm not. No, I miss Brad Nessler.
That's a good point.
I'm a big, and I know Brad.
Well, he's been on the show too.
Yeah.
Yes, you've known him for
since I've been in the business. Yeah. I've gotten to know him. Brad is he's one of my favorite people in the business. He's just he's a real dude. He's fun. He's no nonsense about. He doesn't like act like he's one thing and be another. He knew the late Miller Pope, who was very instrumental in my career. And when Miller passed, Brad came and spoke at the funeral. So I'm a big Brad Nessler fan. I miss Brad, and I like hearing Brad do games.
Yeah,
he's a voice that resonates with me. So I don't miss Gary as much. I'm okay with. I mean, I could no. If, with all due respect, I could take or leave Gary Danielson.
I like Gary, but yeah, I got you.
I don't dislike him. I just don't. Don't love him either.
You're not wrong.
I just don't. I'm just
so
indifferent.
We're in the middle.
I'm indifferent. That's the word, indifferent. Kind of like the World Series. I was indifferent.
They're both great guys, both really good colleagues. Let's get some update on college football. We are rolling along here on the morning shift and getting you set for a weekend of college football. And so, of course, you have the Georgia-Florida game. You know, who got on to me? Who was it here? That told me it's not the Florida Georgia game.
Mm. What's the Florida Georgia? Rusty says it's not.
It wasn't.
Not Rusty.
Nope. Take a guess.
Was it Drew?
Someone that might be on an afternoon show.
Oh, I don't listen to anybody.
Someone that might be on an Andy and Randy show.
Oh, Randy. Yeah, he's more mid. Yeah, I don't. Randy, look. Hey, Randy's got to say that he played there. Randy was a good Hall of Fame. Good Hall of Famer. Good tight end for Georgia. I think Randy beat. I can't remember if Randy was on that nine. No, he was on the 2000. I don't know if Randy ever beat Georgia. I mean, beat Florida when he was at Georgia.
I don't know. I have to look that up.
Because I'm trying to go back and remember when they. I don't know if he ever beat. Shock. I think Shock beat. I don't think Shock beat Florida either when he played there.
That's brutal.
Well, Georgia had put out basically their availability ahead of this game with some news coming out that we know two guys are going to be ruled out of the first half of this game who were ejected in the Texas game. Dan Jackson and Jonel Aguero will both be missing the first half of this game. So Ja'Cory Thomas and KJ Bolden will start in their place. So obviously that's going to affect your defensive backs. And then your offensive guard, Tate Ratledge, was listed as probable, which is a better sign that he is trending up. Like Kirby Smart said, they're going to keep an eye on him. He has missed the last four games following ankle and knee injuries that he suffered in that win over Kentucky.
Yeah,
I just think Tate Ratledge needs a rest this week. I think they need him for the Ole Miss game. I don't know why he wants to rush back.
At this point, I'm not sure he's not the I can't say on their offense. I'm not sure he's not the best player on their offense. If he's playing.
I think it's telling how much they've struggled at times offensively and how one-dimensional at times they've become without him there.
I mean, I don't know about that. Like, I think there's still a good offense, and that's not a knock on anybody. It's not a knock on Carson Beck, and I know there's been questions about Carson Beck that Kirby Smart's had to answer this week. There's been questions about a number of players, really, and I know this is a big game for ETN as well, right? I mean, obviously, that's going to be big. I just look at Tate Ratledge, and I said this before they played Bama. To me, he's just one of the best players on their offense. He's the longest tenured player at Georgia, and when you look at what he can do for that running game and the things they've kind of lacked without him, I think he's one of the best players. So if they can get him back in the fold, that's a huge upswing for the Georgia Bulldogs this weekend.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it is big for ETN, but also Jaden Ball. It's a big game for him. This guy came on the scene. He's a Georgia kid, freshman. He's ready to go as a Florida Gator. He's ready to prove to Georgia, why didn't you come get me?
Well, look, and I know we got to go to break. I want to touch on Florida and Georgia and the fact that they're going to be in Mercedes-Benz in 2026, and then they're going to what is it? Is it Tampa?
Tampa.
They're going to in 2027.
Raymond James,
dude. Yep. I love this.
It's a good stadium.
I love the Atlanta Tampa thing. It just makes a lot of sense.
Well,
I'm glad they didn't do Orlando.
Orlando. Anyways, Tampa's
I'm glad they didn't do Orlando.
Tampa's a great. I am too. I'm not a big Orlando fan.
Yeah. Either one of those football stadiums in Orlando.
I like the game on the neutral field. I just think it kind of adds to the atmosphere of it. Just makes it feel so much bigger. Even when one team is not good, it makes it feel bigger. You're right. That's a good word. Yeah. Tiff is bigger. I like the fact that they're doing it like this and not home and home like they did a few years.
And I'm glad that it's two different stadiums. I'm glad it's two different places. I'm glad it's not, hey, we're going to go to Mercedes-Benz for 2 years or Tampa for 2 years or Orlando. I'm glad that they're doing one in Georgia and one in Florida.
Tiff, you
know, makes sense.
Tiff, you know Roger Goodell, right?
Yeah, right.
You've met him before.
Roger,
you've met
him before, right? Business. No, yes, I've met him before. And also, he did know, like, everyone's names. I met him last time I would have interacted with him would have been back at NFL Network. And so, yeah.
You get me a word with him because in 2027.
He's at our meetings this year for CBS.
Good. Get a word with me next year because 2027, I need the NFL schedule to have Tampa Bay and Atlanta play Tampa Bay in Tampa the same weekend that Florida plays. Now, they would never do that because, yeah, you know, the field.
Yeah.
But, man, that'd be great for me.
Yeah.
I can throw down there early.
Yeah. I think it would work out for you. That'd be nice.
Oh, let's see what I can do. Anyway. When we come back here on the morning shift, we'll get you some injury news on the Cowboys front. That's still to come. And this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We'll be right back here in the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Oh, why did it just dawn on me? Today is Halloween.
I thought you had said that already.
No, I didn't. Oh, surprise. Well,
I mean, Dylan did just play, "This is Halloween, this is Halloween."
I know, it just wasn't. I was thinking it was still Wednesday or something and that we were leading up to it. But it just dawned on me. By the way, have you seen those it's on social media where people will try to see if they could outrun a fake Michael Myers?
I have seen
that. So they do, like the kids these days are sprinting to the door. They give them a little head start with like their keys in their hand. And I'm like, who still has keys anymore? No, I'm just kidding. A lot of people still have keys.
Tiffany, you try to like,
I'm totally joking. I have a key. I have a key. I have a key. Okay, I'm joking. But I picture someone running up trying to punch in their door code instead of jingling keys trying to escape Michael Myers. But they time it and they see who out of their group would survive.
I would just be running down the street and hold my phone, my garage door app, and have it open it up.
Okay, who's bougie?
You would fumble the phone and drop the phone.
I mean,
no, I wouldn't.
You'd fumble the phone.
You still showed yours too. I mean,
yeah, but he doesn't get called bougie.
I mean, we
lots of people have garage door openers.
Yeah, that's,
you said on your phone. You said on your phone.
Yeah, it's like a. I mean, it literally was like a $60 purchase.
Oh, I'm just saying a lot of people have.
You have a car without a key fob. I mean, I don't know. I guess it has a chip in your head that just cranks it for you. That's bougie.
I don't have that.
I don't. Yeah, you. I don't know.
I never stayed for the tutorial. I've seen shocking. All right. It's been like 6 or 7 years. All right.
You ever get the hood fixed?
No.
Wow.
If you're new to the show, Bo did me a favor moving a couch for me, and I repaid him by driving into the back of his truck. So
I just love the fact that my truck's fixed. And
you know, I used to blame you a lot for that, but I've been iRacing with him for a while now, and I'm not sure it's all your fault. So I'm just gonna throw that out there. The way this guy's been driving lately, even though it's virtually,
I had one bad race in the last like five. In the last five,
what?
Yeah, that was my fault.
One bad race or one bad incident?
One incident. The race. Hold on. 2 weeks ago, I finished in a spot that wasn't deserving.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to do this.
And it was not my fault. You finished right there with me. And it wasn't your fault either. Is this a racing incident?
I'm not going to. Go ahead, Tiff. I'm not going to comment because I want this to end.
To make sure.
You know I'm right.
Make sure we're all good here.
That's what people that are wrong say, Tiff.
All right. Well, Cowboys-Falcons this weekend with the Cowboys possibly, maybe, getting back two key pieces on their defense, and Micah Parsons and Deron Bland. Just to give you some updates, both of those guys did not practice yesterday with Micah Parsons dealing with an ankle injury and Deron Bland dealing with a foot injury. But if they do get those guys back, does that make you concerned over what the Falcons offense will be able to do?
Yeah,
especially with Parsons.
I think that A month ago, and Bo and I just went through the October 3rd down numbers, and I think a month ago I'm a lot more concerned, right? And it sounds to me, reading through the tea leaves, and Mike McCarthy saying that Deron Bland is expected to kind of suit up and practice today, but he still thinks Micah Parsons is going to be off to the side, kind of working with the injured group. If I'm reading through that, I'm saying, okay, Deron Bland may be back sooner than Micah Parsons. I don't know that Deron Bland scares me. Here's what I will say. Kirk Cousins does a great job of getting the ball out very quickly, right? And Deron Bland, known as a guy who likes to jump routes and can get hit by the double move, we don't see a lot of the double moves from this Atlanta Falcons offense, even when we've hit plays down the field. I mean, I guess you could say Kyle Pitts hit a double move on a little, you know, sluggo last week at the top of his route where he shoves a guy, you know, shoves a guy off of him. But other than that, we usually don't have terribly long developing, you know, downfield shots the way you see some other teams hit in the NFL. So Deron Bland could be an issue. And look, Trayvon Diggs is the same way. And they kind of like to jump routes and they kind of work in tandem in that. But it doesn't terrify me specifically. And Bo, I'll get your thoughts on this as well. The reason is I expect us to run the ball a lot. They've been very bad against the run. They've been very bad at running it. And our game plan has to revolve around Bijan and Tyler, and the efficiency that has been our running game needs to be what carries us to victory on Sunday.
I actually think, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you feel differently. I think we always go into a game planning to run the ball. Like I think this team is its best when you can get Bijan and Tyler Algier rolling, and then you use that and really open everything else up. Now, I think we've done it both ways. I think the beauty, the most complimentary thing I think I could say about Zach Robinson, what he's done so far, is he's absolutely stuck to the fact that I'm going to take what they're giving me, and we're going to exploit what they're showing us, whether it's in the run game or the pass game, and we're not going to commit to either one. Like, we're not going to be the guys that bang our head against the wall to say that we had a number hit 49, 51, or 51, 49 the other way on if we run or pass. But I think they come out to begin with most of the time and want to see if they can get traction in the run game.
Well, that's a testament to Tyler Algier and Bijan Robinson and what they've done when it comes to the run game this season. You have two guys that you're confident in, so that would be the approach going into every game. I do agree with you.
Yeah, and there, Tiff, where this offense started and where they're at are is what we tell people, have some patience with teams, right? Early in the season. Tiff, we talked about earlier, going into October, they were 29th in the league in third down conversions at 26%. And that was starting the month of October. They are now 12th in the league at 39.6%. You could actually do that, though, with the running numbers. At one point in time, this was one of the worst rushing offenses attacks in the league. They're now at 15th at 120, right at 121. At one point, they were one of the lowest scoring teams. They're now 12th in the league, just a point under 25. And I'm telling you, if you score 25 points a game, you're winning most games.
Yeah. There's some the numbers that I pulled away from Warren Sharp earlier today that kind of back up your point, Bo. And Warren Sharp puts out, after averaging 1.79 points per drive of their opening four games, that was 20th in the league, 1.79 points per drive in their opening four games, Atlanta has now averaged 2.77 points per drive in their past four games. That's third in the NFL, the way you've played over the month of October, which kind of, you know, brings home what you and I were talking about, third down percentage. You also continue to be one of the more explosive running teams in the league. 43.7% of your runs have gained five or more yards. 43.7% of your running plays have gained five or more yards. The highest rate by a mile in the NFL. So while Derrick Henry is hitting home runs and creating explosives, the efficient run team, the most efficient running team in the NFL, when you talk about just gaining 5 yards, successful runs, has been the Atlanta Falcons, the highest rate in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Bijan Robinson touched the ball 20 times last week for 106 yards. That's over 5 yards a touch. Now, I know that he had seven catches, but that's still, and he had 13 carries, but that's a good clip. Every time, think about it, every time he touches the ball, you're halfway to a first down. He touches the ball twice in the same series of downs, it's a first down. Yeah. So tell me teams don't want to key in on that, because I'm going to tell you something, they do.
Yeah.
No, they definitely do, but does it concern you at all that you're getting a Dallas Cowboys team that this is not my word, but some people would say that maybe they're on the desperate side. Maybe they're thirsty for a win. Maybe this could be what they would deem as a try to get right game.
Yeah, I think they would say it's a must win, back against the wall, to your point. Yeah, it always, first off, every game in the NFL concerns me.
Yes.
And at this point, who was it? Was what was the nice lady's name that called in, I think, yesterday and said
Sarah,
and she's like, I'm worried about home games these days.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about road games. Yeah. Should I go travel? And it's a good point because we have been much better on the road. We've played 5 home games and we're 2-3, I think. We're 3-0 on the road.
But to her point, so has Dallas. Dallas has been a better team. They've had the doors blown off of them at home multiple times this year.
Detroit.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, they've had the doors blown off of them at home. So they play better on the road, which, look, you can only take so much away from that. It still comes down to executing, comes down to noise. But I think the way we know that Cowboys fans travel and what I think we would all expect to see in Mercedes-Benz Stadium I'm hoping that doesn't come to fruition. And I'm hoping the Falcons fans, especially shout out to our guys over in the Nest, that can make Dallas feel like they are an away team when they come to Mercedes-Benz Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, let's have a rejuvenated crowd. We just came off a big road win. Mm. Let's get loud.
Let's support our first place Falcons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
A new starter in Indianapolis. We'll hear from the quarterback that's been benched, or we'll discuss his thoughts on Joe Flacco now taking over. And when we come back here, we will get you all the latest on NFL stuff when we return on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Like one of the ball gowns.
Yeah.
Like I was going to go like.
But you got to talk with an accent if you do that.
Yeah. And it would
let's
be.
Let's hear it.
No.
Let's hear your British accent. Come on. Come on. Everybody out there. Larry in the truck right now. I hope Larry's back. He hurt his wrist. I hope you're okay, Larry. It's probably driving around. He's like, man, I want to hear Tiffany's. He's a member of the Tiffinites, and he wants to hear your British accent.
I don't think anybody wants to hear that. Kind of along the lines of when you say your good morning, that's how trash it would be.
You don't say. That's about all I can do. And then it's not even that good. Mike, you got a British accent?
No, man. I
Dylan?
That's not in the repertoire.
Dylan, I bet you can do accents.
I know
I bet you can do voices.
Dylan's going to do it.
I would say I'm not too shabby at a British accent.
Hey, there you go. That's not bad.
Yeah. Now I need to find my bowl of water somewhere around here.
You know what? You
that's
know what,
pretty good, Dylan.
You know what somebody told me one time about British accents? Just take the T out of the word and just kind of have a slight pause in the middle of it. And that's exactly what he just did. What I heard in that.
Well, I call it water.
Just take the T out of the word and that's your British accent.
Amy tried to tell me that like the Southern accent, at all of our accents obviously are derived from British accents.
Yes.
And she's like, if you think about it, the way we say certain words is very, very much like a British accent. I was like, I don't think so. No, we fought them and won.
I've heard that before. I remember reading something that's basically the British accent didn't sound this way until much later in time than like movies represent. So I don't know.
So they didn't always sound like Dylan in the 1400s?
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd look that back up.
Hey, I could see Dylan could come over there and be like, ball water.
Anybody in there need a ball water? Big parts.
That's enough.
Enough of that.
No, nah, man, you can't have my water. Taxation without representation? I don't think so.
All right.
Is that the way it went?
Let's just. The
colonies?
Just play the music, Dylan.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the morning shift.
That was, sorry for all your ears out there if you had to suffer through that.
Brutal.
What? Dylan's accent was good. Y'all need to leave him alone. Dylan, you did a good job.
Right. Thank you.
I like it. I think you did good.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, Mike Bell better watch out. You're going to come for him with the voices.
Maybe
and the
Anthony Richardson can cheer up.
Well, somebody's already came for him.
I was going to say cheerio, but I was like, no, I need to stop. So,
cheerio.
All right. So we know he was benched and going into this week for the Colts. And of course, that was after their loss to the Texans, a game in which he needed to check himself out of the game because he said he was tired. So now Coach Shane Steichen has announced that Joe Flacco is going to be their starter this weekend. So here's Richardson on what he's learned from all this.
He just told me that they were gonna go with Joe, you know, and that was that. And you know, I just had to just take the information and just, you know, just grow.
Did he explain why?
No, not necessarily. You know, of course it hurts. As a competitor, definitely don't want to be told that, you know, you're not the guy anymore, you know, for the upcoming week. But you know, it's all good. I'm using this moment as an opportunity to grow and just learn from my mistakes.
And I'm pretty sure Steichen came out later and said, "No, it's not just this week."
Yeah,
this he did.
Yeah.
This is moving forward.
But to say he's learned from his mistakes, then, so what? I'm curious to know. I didn't mean to cut you off. What he looks at as the mistake was the mistake not being in peak condition to play in the NFL game. Was the mistake openly admitting?
That's a good point.
That too. You needed to come out because you were tired.
Yeah,
fake an injury, dude.
That's what I said yesterday. Like, yeah, just grab your knee. You get a calf cramp. You know what I mean? You got a calf cramp.
He knocked the wind out of him.
He wouldn't have been the first one, I'm sure, that would have just grabbed your calf and be like, I got a cramp.
I need a breather.
Yeah.
But don't tell anybody that.
I mean, it's bad optics because of the leadership, and that's what he talked about, right?
Here's the problem. Anthony Richardson is going to be affected by where we are at in this world and in the NFL right now. The fact that Anthony Richardson is a extremely talented football player, athlete, whatever you want to say. But he's been thrust into a position that he's not necessarily ready for, because he didn't start but maybe like 12 games in college.
You mean playing-wise or playing you mean leadership?
Okay. Well, I think both, actually. Yeah. Both, actually.
Kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah. And he we're in a league where if you draft a guy as high as you draft him, he has to play right away. And that's the way the league's set up now. You just don't draft guys anymore that high and make them sit. And it all now Penix, I know, is one. I know, but that was to me, it's a little bit different because they're a team that thought they could win now.
Yes,
and they've got a GM that's been there for a few years, and basically he's built the roster up, and they're like, go win now, let a guy sit, you won't be here for a while. But the Colts, we're in a different situation. They had a new head coach come over. The GM had been there a while. And they went and drafted a guy like, what was Anthony Richardson's, like 4, 3, 5, something like that?
Yeah, 3 or 4.
And so you're in that position. You got to win. You sit out all of last year, almost all of last year, because of an injury. What was he doing last year?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. They knew that this was a possibility. Otherwise, why do you go out and sign Joe Flacco? Like, you go out and get Joe Flacco, you let Gardner Minshew walk. You knew that this was going to be a possibility at some point this season. Otherwise, you don't worry about it. Like, if you feel good about Anthony Richardson, you go out and just get, you know, whoever backup. Joe Flacco, you bring him in not only to help Richardson with leadership, with X's and O's, but you also are like, man, it's kind of an insurance policy. Like, we feel like we've got a good team, the quarterback position being the one question mark.
But that was probably centered around health issues, right? Like, you have Joe Flacco, you want a capable backup. It wasn't around your quarterback in what week? Is this week 8 or week 9?
Yeah.
Where he's checking himself out of a game. That's my real question is, we're into week 9 or week 8 when this happened, and you checked yourself out then saying you were tired. So there's... I'm not trying to say something else is going on there. It's just very interesting to me that you've played through most of these games because we have seen Flacco before, but you're tired in this one.
Well, I'll say this. Here, you know, it's kind of, first off, I think Shane Steichen and is it Chris Ballard?
Yes, their GM? Chris Ballard's the GM.
He probably, they go, dude, this is a team we can win with, and we need to show, and Steichen definitely, because look at Kevin Stefanski, what he's shown that he can do, that he can make the playoffs without a starting quarterback, and that shows that he can do it. So you give yourself more time, but also the fact that I'm supposed to believe in you, or you, and you're gonna have one play where you run around and you're gonna tap your helmet. That's not, like that makes me think. What does the locker room think about Anthony Richardson? Mm. And I know that
not good.
And look. You can name all types of mobile quarterbacks that have not tapped their head after a big scramble. And this guy does. What? How? It just doesn't all like make sense. But if you want to read between the lines, it all does make sense.
And before we move on too, Steichen, the coaching though has been there. You did it with Gardner Minshew. You were kind of knocking on the door a couple, what, seasons? Like two
last
seasons?
Last season.
Gosh,
you
I think
actually had a
Minshew's been everywhere. So, yeah, you had a shot and when Richardson was out. So well, I just wanted to point that out.
Here's what I'll say, and my last thing is quarterbacks don't do as much conditioning-wise during practice as other positions do. But I know you've seen it, and you've probably seen it too, Tiff, where how many times you see Matt Ryan and the quarterbacks, Chris Redman, be whoever it was, stay after practice and run half gassers, full gassers, hundreds, whatever it is, and make sure they get that conditioning in. And Matt wasn't running 50 yards on a scramble either. You know what I mean? So I just it's interesting to me, and it just shows – to me, it shows a lack of maturity. And I just throw it out there. Like, to me, it's just an absolute lack of maturity and understanding of the situation you've in and what you've been given. All right, and I think that Joe Flacco has a lot of, I think he's thankful for where he's at. I'll just say that.
And there's no doubt he can come back from this, Richardson. I mean, this is a growing moment. Sure. This is a growing moment.
Like we said, top draft pick.
Look at a guy like Geno Smith has had his ups and downs in the NFL, and now he's that guy up in Seattle. So he can definitely come back from this.
Before we go, the peace has been restored in Arlington with Cowboys' Trevon Diggs making up with the reporter, Mike Leslie of WFAA. You guys might have seen the exchange on Twitter where Leslie had criticized Diggs and Diggs basically saying, you don't know what you're talking about, and some other choice words that he used there. But now Diggs has apologized to him. They made peace. Great social media moment. It's done.
Yeah, I heard.
Social media moment.
I did hear Trevon was on the Micah Parsons podcast and just said, you know, I was emotional. I was heated.
Yeah.
I get it.
But also he explained the play to him because Leslie was criticizing his effort. He's saying, actually, I was slow playing tight end, 49ers, George Kittle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Greg, as some people would call him. You know what? The other thing that popped in my head is I wonder if there was some point that Trevon had just heard news about his brother.
I don't know. It's hard for me to say that. I don't know. I'll say this. This is what bothers me.
Because that would put you in an emotional mood. I'd have to think.
We're not questioning Anthony Richardson's effort in the play. It's a want to stay in at that point. When you question guys' effort like that guy did, Trevon Diggs, hey Mike, you know that Tiff, you both were athletes on a higher. That hits. That's like someone questioning me saying, "Well, you don't do this, you don't put into work." That there's nothing that hits harder with someone that's competitive when you question their effort. You know.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. The Hawks come up short to the Wizards, and we've got a mic'd up.
I got a menu item that has debuted here recently at one of my favorite establishments. And I got to tell you, man, left me shaking my head. I've never wanted to try something more that so many people think is disgusting. Talk about that on the other side. Coming up on Mic'd Up. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
We are back here on the morning shift this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And when is the last time you guys have seen this movie?
Huh. The OG?
The OG.
It came on a while back on TV and I was watching some of it. I mean, I didn't watch it all the way through. It's been a long time since I've watched it all the way through.
I have seen it. By the way,
are you sure?
But it's been a long time, like since my childhood. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen it. But
what do you do like when on a rainy day?
You mean what did I do on a rainy day? I don't know, 30 years ago? Is that the question you're asking? Because that's when most people would have seen this movie for the first time. So
for the first time,
you brought up Goonies earlier. It came out in 85. I wasn't even born yet. So I. What do you mean? What I do?
Well,
I
was two.
What year you were?
87.
Yeah, but just like
God, you're my brother's age.
I can't.
Interesting.
You don't watch movies.
Sorry, man. I don't know. What do you want me there's a million movies like that. I can't play catch up mode my whole life.
Yeah, but I mean, The Goonies is a classic. Like, it's not like I asked you about some random ass independent film. Like, The Goonies is a cult classic. You know, it hurts, man. I
almost started banging your fist like a certain coach that you.
I know. I almost became fake Brian Kelly. Like, right. I'm tired of this. I'm sick and tired of being here with you not seeing these movies, Mike.
Yeah, sorry, man. Jeez.
All right. Before we get to Mic'd Up, the Hawks, who were short-handed.
We're sitting here again.
They fall to the Wizards. So basically, the Wizards swept the home and home. series against the Hawks. They won 121-119 on Monday, and then last night 133-120.
Yeah, the Hawks obviously riddled with injuries. Yeah. Riddled with injuries. Dyson Daniels is out. DeAndre Hunter out. That's really two of your starters probably. And then Bogey, who's one of the best six men in the NBA, and also another ball handler, which you were short on last night. Here's the thing, though. I'm having trouble excusing what the Atlanta Hawks looked like a number of times last night, specifically on defense. I mean, at one point in the third quarter, middle of the third quarter, you're up by 9 points, right? And by the middle of the fourth quarter, you're down by like 17. The wheels absolutely came off, the midpoint of the third quarter. I thought that at times they looked very good. I thought that Trae Young looked rested in the first half. And obviously, when you're shorthanded, it's going to...
Two starters.
Yeah, when you're down a couple of starters, things are going to look different, and you're going to get tired faster. But even down two starters, you cannot tell me that they should have been swept in a matter of 3 days by the Washington Wizards. I'm sorry. They're favored by Vegas by 5.5 going into this game. They're better than Washington in almost every facet, or should be. But defensively, they looked bad. I mean, they looked bad a number of times. So I thought Zachary Risacher did some good things. I thought he was, honestly, from what I saw in the moments that I saw in the second and third quarter, I thought he was probably your best defender. And that's unfortunate because he's a rookie. I know he's the first overall pick, but I had a bunch of questions.
They allowed 76 points in the second half alone.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Look, I can't believe I'm the one that's going to say, it's hard for me to kill this team with you've played what, 3 games in 4 days. Two of those were on the road. You're missing what, 4 guys? I cannot unsee what I just saw on TV with Bill Belichick.
Please do it. What? Do it really quick.
He's wearing the Ryan Clark multicolored jacket where one side is the other. Like, what are we doing here? What?
Hey, Dylan, can we do mic up? All right, we got to talk about the old Picklewich. First of all, do you guys like Jimmy Johns? Are you Jimmy Johns fans?
Yeah,
are you
I do
more
like
Jersey Mike people, or what's the deal? Where's the go-to sandwich?
Firehouse. Is my top. But I do like Jimmy John's. Their sandwiches are freaky fast, and they're pretty good.
They are fast. Oh, wow.
Okay, when I have been there, I think it's number 3. It's a Turkey Tom, which sounds bland, but then also it's either all or nothing. I flip that now. Nothing or all, because what's the Italian?
There's Italian
it's like
nightclub.
A 10. I think it might be a 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my other go-to.
Okay, so Tiff, I'm curious this from you, because my wife, when we go to Jimmy John's, she loves Jimmy John's. She gets the bread scooped out. Have you ever heard of this?
So I have heard of it.
They take like the ice cream scoop and they take the bread out of the middle, right? Is that something you would consider doing?
I don't people are either doing it to not eat so many carbs. I guess, yeah, but I'm like,
the,
that's
the
kind
thick.
Of...
It's a thick French bread sometimes that can, it can overwhelm you.
Or it's just too thick, so.
Right.
I don't do that. What I have done is the lettuce wrap before, or I just straight up eat the sandwich with
lettuce wrap, huh? I've seen people do the lettuce wrap at Five Guys, but that's neither here nor there.
It's a little bit weird.
So the question is, do you guys like pickles? Because I love pickles.
I do.
Massive.
And every day downstairs, there's pickles. They're the only thing that are left in the vending machine, whatever that we have downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
The pickles are there. And I'm tempted to because, they alleviate cramping. They're
sure.
Great, right?
Yeah, sure.
Pickle juices, those
salt content.
Wonders.
High sodium content in some of those pickles.
You worked out.
Well, are you
great.
Pickle guy?
Yeah, but I'm a pickle guy on my burgers and sandwiches and stuff. I don't just like randomly eat pickles.
Oh, I'll randomly eat pickles.
I'm not the guy that just goes into the dill pickle or the long tube pickles.
I'll buy a jar at home and have pickle every now.
All right, so by now you probably understand what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, it's gone viral. Jimmy John's has come out with the Pickle Witch. And what it is it's two halves of crisp Jimmy pickle is what they call it, with the sandwich put in the middle. A Jimmy pickle. Yeah, it's a little bit strange.
Funny.
They have two options. They've got the turkey pickle witch, which is turkey, provolone, lettuce, and tomato, or the Vito pickle witch, which I'd probably go with. Salami, capicola, provolone, onion, tomatoes, oil and vinegar.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I don't know if I can answer them, but my main question is, would you try it?
I would take a bite.
Okay.
The picture, when you sent this, are the pickles really that large? Are they the size of a – it can't be, or else they're not natural pickles.
Was that a Jimmy pickle or a Vito pickle?
Yeah. I don't know. But I don't know if they're like slicing them extra to where they kind of flatten them out a little bit or how they actually make it the size of the bread or the size of a normal piece of bread. But I got to tell you guys, I'm going to try this today. And I am extremely excited to do this.
Are you getting it for free?
No.
Oh, you're going to. Okay.
What is that? What is that? Are you that bougie to where I got to get the food for free?
No,
what do you mean?
What is this attack on?
I don't know. It's like an influencer thing. I don't know. Why would I get it for free?
I'm saying, like, I don't know if I'm going to go pay for that.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Jeez, the shot's fired.
No, I don't. Like, no, I just want, I think it sounds like a good thing. I think it sounds like a great sandwich.
Excuse me, I go get in my Rolls Royce and pull out of here with my Rolex.
I'm just. Century and stuff.
Look, jeez. I'm just curious if people out there have tried this and what their thoughts are. And if they haven't tried it, would they be willing to go do it? Because I think it sounds really good, even if you have to pay for it. I'm gonna go try it today and try it out. I love pickles. I actually did the craze of 5 years back where it was the pickle and peanut butter sandwich. Mm. Pickle and peanut butter. And guess what? I loved it.
I figured. Yeah, I think you told us this before.
It was so good. So I'm not really big on some of the food trends that come around. Like I wasn't, you know, going to Popeyes every 3 days to get the chicken sandwich and all the other answers that people had to that. But this one's going to be – I'm going to try this one out. So I'm excited about it.
Hmm. Well, if you want to give us your thoughts on this new pickle sandwich from Jimmy John's, and if you would try it, you can do that by calling us for the wake-up call at 404-726-0929, or you can weigh in on if the Falcons can still get it done against the Cowboys if they have back Micah Parsons and maybe Deron Bland as well. Give us your thoughts on this matchup next. Yeah. On the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We're in our 8 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I know what the youth was thinking.
Dylan, played the cranberries song. Are not Halloween
I know,
music.
But the zombie part, maybe that's where he was going. I'm just trying to get into the youth's head.
I thought it would be appropriate, but
I mean, it's a good song.
And I do love Zombie, the song. I do love it. It's good.
Oh, it's a great song. It's just not.
It's not
you don't
necessarily
consider Halloween. All right. Well, it's time for the wake up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. Give us your thoughts, and if you would eat a pickle sandwich, or the pickle witch from Jimmy John's, or you want to give us your thoughts on a game plan for Micah Parsons and Deron Bland if those guys are back for the Cowboys this weekend as they face your Falcons. So. We can go to the lines now. We've got Tevin in Peachtree City. What's going on, Tevin?
Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning.
With Billy.
Sir.
Mike Mafia in the house.
I knew it was coming. Let's go.
Should not have spoke to Tevin.
Quick question for you guys. For me, this year, Kirk Cousins has been playing as a top three quarterback in the NFC, but who are you guys' top five quarterbacks in the NFC based on this year?
Gosh.
Goff would be up there.
Yeah, that's a good call. Jared Goff has been phenomenal this year.
I have to go look.
You know what my problem is right now? Is I have been so stuck.
Brock Purdy would be one for me. I know that he's not a popular choice, but he's a gamer.
Hey, yeah.
Until the last 3 weeks, I think Baker has been one of the top. Until the last few weeks, because Baker's now thrown – I would say seven interceptions in three games, so I think he's probably taken down.
You got to mention Kirk Cousins' name in that as well.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think that's a given for us. We're going to put him at the top, right?
Jaden Daniels, he's been phenomenal, MVP candidate. Look, Sam Darnold has been pretty good himself. And Geno's up there. Geno's been good. NFC though,
who we're not putting on the list and who will probably be up there soon if they keep playing like they did last week. Matthew Stafford, the little resurgence. So I don't know, man, because I know that going into the year, it was not a great crop. You know, you're looking at going but there's been some good performances, and I'm with you. I'm putting Kirko up near the top. For sure, at least in the top
three. I think you could still have had Goff going into the year based on what they did last season, but I don't know if anyone could have predicted like what he's doing right now because the accuracy.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. Tiff, I would say this. Goff, like you said, Darnold, Geno, Baker, and Kirk, to me, would be, along with Jaden Daniels, those guys have at times or consistently through the year kind of played – as well, if not better than anybody else. I mean, Baker Mayfield's got 21 touchdowns and 9 picks through 8 games. I know 9 picks is rough, but he is getting you in the end zone. So
Kyler Murray's also been pretty good recently as well. Kind of just thought about him. So,
all right. Let's keep it moving. Sorry, this is the good distraction that you're allowed to have on this show. Day-Day just walked in his Halloween costume.
So you know who he is?
We'll have to get him. Yay, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Dude, I walked out a minute ago.
I'm good.
When he had first got here, and I had not seen him, and he was facing away from me getting something out of the cabinet. And, like, for just a split second, I was like, who the heck is this dude up in our office getting something out of somebody's cabinet? Like, what's going on? And then he turned around, and I was like, oh. Crap. Like, he looked like, I was like, somebody's limo driver's up in here. You know what I mean? And then he turned around. I was like, oh, it's Day-Day. Kind of scared me for a minute. I thought I was going to have to punch somebody or something.
Let's go back to the lines. We got Tinker waiting on us at Kennesaw State. What's going on? Tinker, you there?
You there?
It's a spring, nice kind of day.
I love it.
Fwum, fwum,
fwum. Only because, you know, it's a good morning. When you get to watch somebody get busted speeding in the school zone.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, it was good seeing you guys a couple of weeks ago. Buffalo Wild Wings, finally meet you, Mike.
Yeah.
One day I get to meet you, Tiff. I got two wake-up calls real quick. First one, the Falcons can do anything they want to do as long as they stop getting cute like Kyle did at that goal line. And I know when I played and you did something like that, that was a minimum. 100-yard bear crawls with your pads on.
Ooh, ooh, yeah.
You know, and then my second one, other than Saints fans, Yankee fans' tears are the sweetest in sports. And after what them two boys did in the seats, they deserve that loss. And I love watching them crying last night.
I love it.
We were talking about this earlier today when the show started, and we were like, I don't hate any teams, but, man, I do not mind seeing the Yankees lose.
Let me tell you something. The glorification of those two clowns by ESPN, this guy writes a story for ESPN, Tiff, basically talking about how they did it for Yankees fans and how they basically glorifying them, glorifying the fact that they assaulted a Major League Baseball player. I don't know where the hell we are anymore. When we're glorifying
it's not acceptable.
Two duds in season ticket seats. They're just duds. They're dud human beings. I'm sorry. Yeah. That is a dud human being behavior.
I completely agree. And the fact that we would even mention it as being acceptable means it's just going to be more likely it happens again in the future,
and that's
which is unfortunate.
That's such a good point, Mike. You're not wrong there. That's funny.
That's right.
That's the precedent we're setting when we glorify clowns like that.
Yeah. Gronkowski did the same thing yesterday. Rob Gronkowski's like, I know this guy from college. He's always been that kind of Yankees fan, so good for him that he got to shine in his moment. I'm like, dude.
How do you think Gronk?
So brutal.
How do you think Gronk would reacted if some way would have happened that way to Tom Brady or him on the game?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question because Gronk would have probably just headbutted the guy and throwing a football at him, but it is what it is.
Back to the lines we go. We got Squid Billion.
Yo.
Good morning.
Morning, everybody. Morning, Elder Squid.
Sir.
But here's the thing, right? Like, everybody talks about a British accent. We all talk about London and, you know, because the Cockney accent, because it's easy, it's stereotypical, it's a little bit exaggerated, right? But the whole area over the UK is so diverse, especially when you talk about how big
dialects.
It is. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different dialects out there. You got Essex, you got Birmingham, you got even Scottish and Welsh and stuff. So, there's a lot of options you got there. But, you know, it's fun to mess around with. But, yeah, I just thought I'd call in, talk a little bit about it, because it's fun to speak in that accent. But, you guys have a good day. Love the show. Enjoy it.
That's pretty solid accent.
You don't say.
Cool. I don't really care about their
Let me tell you something.
So,
I don't know anything you just said. Because he spoke it all in that English accent stuff. I don't know anything
he
said, but I bet it was interesting.
It was good. It was well done.
Good accent.
I don't think that anybody in England really cares about our dialects over here. And so, on the flip side, not worried about it.
Well, except for I told you all at the Olympics that I got called out by Mateta, one of the players from France. Where are you from? Where's your accent from? But as a world traveler, I should tell you that, his accent was,
It was
pretty good.
Really good, yeah.
Well,
no one's going to tee off on that.
I too have traveled the world. I have been to London myself, so I have traveled the world like Tiff. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that after going to Canada, Mexico, Jamaica, and England, that I would say that was a stand-up accent by Squidbillion.
You cannot count Canada.
Yes, you can.
Mexico. You can't.
Is it another country, Tiff?
Why can't you count Mexico?
Because they're on our continent. You can't
I've been to the Bahamas, too. I got to say that one. I've been to the Bahamas, too.
I actually never been to Europe, but I've been to Asia and all that kind of stuff. So
Asia? What did you go to Asia for?
Went to Japan. Went to Singapore. Yeah, went over there to watch the Super Bowl.
You watched the Super Bowl? They never had a Super Bowl over there.
No.
Went over there to watch the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. You went and watched the Super Bowl. They never had a Super Bowl over there.
Let's get Haitian Dave in. Good morning.
Mike's Mafia in the building.
Mike, you're
ain't nothing changed,
hey,
man.
Let's go.
Sorry for the absence, man. Mike, how you doing, brother? How you feeling, man?
Hey, I'm living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
There you go. Tiff, how you doing, Miss Tiff?
I'm doing great.
And then we got, what up, Squid? How you feeling, bro?
I'm rolling.
I ain't gonna talk for you, man.
Oh, right, man, what's up,
man?
Babe?
Make it quick, because the old ball and chain is calling on the other line. But those Yankee fans, that's atrocious. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That was ridiculous. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Don't touch that, man. Don't put your hands on that, man. Yeah. His body, never mind, whatever. Okay.
You better take that call for you get in trouble.
I ain't worried about it. Falcons fan.
Yeah.
We need to show up at the bid. I'm sorry.
Let's go.
We need to show up at the bid.
Let's go,
I need all hands on deck.
Best call of the week. Best call of the week right there.
Soon to be single, Haitian Dave.
Yeah.
Calling in a lot more.
He's a world traveler, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's been to Haiti back.
I know that's part of North America, but you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, but...
World traveler, too.
I am a world traveler, Tiffany. I've been across the pond and to our bordering countries. Jamaica.
There you go.
Canada.
That a boy.
Bahamas.
Yeah.
Mexico.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You have that. Unless you hold on to that.
That's right.
And you can think about all the places that you've been.
I know my truth.
As we go to break. But we've got plenty more football on the way. When we get back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. All right, we've got some big college football games on deck this weekend. We can start with Georgia, Florida, as I've been told you have to say.
Florida, Georgia, yeah. Florida, Georgia game.
How are you going to be feeling after this weekend?
F comes before G. I'll be fine because hopefully we'll have a Falcons win. No, wait, what? The only thing that can change my mindset at where I'm at today about the college football season as a guy that pulls for Florida is if Florida was to win. Like, if Florida loses to Georgia, nothing changes about what I think. Now, if they get beat, 70-3, I would say maybe the progress I thought had been made has not been made by Billy Napier and the program, but I'm not going to sit here and just lie to you. I don't expect Florida to win. If Florida won, I'd be sitting here Monday morning saying I'm shocked because I think Georgia in every way, shape, or form is a better football team, and I'm not sure anybody that doesn't, and it has nothing to do with, you got to have faith in your team. That has nothing to do with it. I'm realistic. Georgia has recruited better for the last 10 years. Georgia has better coaching for the last 10 years. Georgia's had better – they've had better facilities. Everything has been better about Georgia's program the last 10 years than Florida's. And there's not – that is reality. That's not a fan. That's not me just playing down to what Florida is. That is – reality of where these two programs are, and I would dare anyone to tell me that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, there's a couple of different ways to look at this. First of all, Kirby Smart was very complimentary of the way Florida has played recently. Right, they're playing like one of the best teams in the country, or the best teams in the SEC, or whatever it is. I think that's interesting to think about because I think you've probably seen that. I don't know if they're playing like one of the best teams in the conference, but he was very complimentary in saying that. And I think there's a lot to be said about the coaching job that Billy Napier has done recently,
well,
right?
And we can listen to Kirby say that because exactly what you're talking about is exactly what he had to say.
You know, I think they're playing their best football. I think they have a really, really good roster.
a lot of players we've recruited and recruited against them, but they're playing their best football, and obviously a talented group, really a lot of great size across the front on the offensive and defensive lines.
So Kirby, again, paying some, you know, respect to Billy Napier and the squad where they haven't even had the best season, as Bo, I'm sure you know very well.
Yeah.
But still, that's kind of what you expect from Kirby Smart, because that's what he does.
And he knows Billy, and he understands the situation Billy's in. And I think you're right. I think the progress, the team I saw play September, against Miami at home is not the team I saw play against Kentucky at home last week. It's not even the team I saw, you know, against A&M in week three is not the team I've seen the last few weeks. They have progressively gotten better. I heard, I'm not sure if you heard this, I know you know some people now, I heard that basically during the bye week, I think it was Rusty Manziel on the Steakhouse this other day, that I don't want to credit him if I'm wrong, but basically during the bye week, Billy was like, none of this is working. We're blowing up what we've been doing, and we're going to do it this way. Yeah. And you're getting – you have to challenge these kids. I just don't – that doesn't mean I think they're going to go in there and even play four-quarter game with Georgia.
Well, the question I was wanting to ask was, do you think even with a close loss that Billy Napier can salvage his job
at
Florida?
Yeah, I do. I think right now Billy Napier is closer to being the head coach at Florida today than he has at any point in the last 6 months in reality. And that sounds weird.
I agree with you.
People are like, what do you mean 6 months? Because basically that Miami game, if they didn't win play well, he was on the chopping block. And then he had a dud against A&M. Look, it turns out that two of your three losses are to teams that are, 13 or 14 and 1? I mean, there's one loss
between.
Yeah,
we knew they were going to have a tough schedule.
And the other one is Tennessee. I'm sorry. You've lost the three games you've lost are the teams with two losses combined, okay? Tennessee's got one loss. A&M's got one loss. Miami's got one loss. And they're all in the top freaking 10.
Yeah.
So the reality is you haven't lost to bad teams. You just lost in a bad way to two of them. And then you went on the road. The Tennessee game was a big turning point to me for the Florida program.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And you said this the other day. You said you hate the word eye test. But the bottom line is, a lot of times this season when they have lost, they have failed the eye test. But that has not been recently, right? That, I think they, in terms of the eye test and getting better in the coaching job that he is doing, I think he has started to kind of pass the eye test here recently. And I think it's important that Kirby Smart kind of noted that in his comments about the game.
The reason I don't like the term or the phrase eye test is because it's very broad. I don't know what do you mean eye test? Are you looking at a score and saying, well, they played that game close because of the score, and that game was not close, so they must have sucked there and been – because that's not always how it works.
You just think there's multiple definitions when people talk about the game and talk about eye test.
Yeah.
Multiple definitions.
What I've watched is I've watched play calling change, okay? This is a team that suddenly went from dink and dunk to – and it's not all about who's at quarterback, but it's about – last year, all they did was throw intermediate to short passes. They had like six explosive plays all of last year in the passing game alone, Florida did. This year, it is at least, I think it's tripled. Hell, Lagway was completing, I think he only had like 8 or 9 completions, and he had 200-something yards. It was like a 37-yard clip per pass attempt or completion. So they've progressed there. They've started winning the line of scrimmage where they're running the football better. Defensively, they have tackled better. They have also not allowed teams to run as well as them. So there's so many facets of the game that they have improved in. When I hear people say, I just don't know what are your eyes seeing?
Right. Would you rather use stats?
I would rather them explain what they're saying. Eye test to me is a cop out.
So you feel like people just say it.
They say it
and don't back it up with anything. Because I always interpret it as who you've played and maybe the environments that you've played in. That's kind of what I would. I don't use that terminology, but that's kind of what I think of when I hear people say, oh, they passed the eye test. They were able to beat such and such on the road, or they face, you know, XYZ. That's how I look at it.
I'll give you my definition of it because obviously I look at it a different angle as we all do. Like, the numbers of like Alabama's secondary at the Tennessee game weren't bad, right? But you also look at anybody who watched the game knows that Nico Iamaleava missed like five wide open streaking wide receivers down the field. And so I'm looking at it going, yeah, the numbers for the secondary looked improved almost after Bama played Tennessee. But my eyes are telling me that the stats should have been way worse than that. And I think that that is one of the things I take into contest when I say eye test. Like you might trip a guy or he might trip over his own feet at the line of scrimmage, or am I Nate Landman meeting a guy in the hole and blowing the play up? That is passing the eye test to me.
And I think I think when you can explain the eye test,
right,
it puts it
in context.
But when you just say, well, the eye test says they're not that good of a team.
I just retire the use of that word.
Well, in this show, I think we can. But I don't mind it. But the reality, you know, the reality is I've seen Florida get better. But when you look across the field, Georgia just played the best game all season. That might be the best game they've played since the middle of last year. I don't count the Florida State game. That game was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Georgia looked every bit as the premier program in college football against Texas, and they still didn't play their best game offensively.
You're coming off of three wins in a row since you lost to Alabama, and you're also coming off a bye week as you go into this game. So I think they have to be feeling pretty good about themselves. I know Kirby Smart did talk about how they took some time to reflect and kind of look at who this team is, and so maybe we'll see them back in the SEC championship game on the way if they keep rolling like this.
Yeah, I know we got to get out of here, and we'll talk a little bit of Falcons before Life of Squid next segment. But can you really judge Billy Napier and the coaching job he's done when he starts a quarterback in his third start going against one of the most talented defenses in college football, one of the best defensive coordinators in the last 20 years of college football? Like, that's the thing for me. I think Florida right now, Mike, is good enough to catch somebody in this tough stretch. Who they do it with, who they catch, is going to be the telltale.
What kind of Cowboys team will the Falcons get on Sunday? We'll hear from Coach Raheem Morris next when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
I was just thinking, Mike posed a question to me about fantasy football in the break about our fantasy football team that we managed together, and I was just thinking, and I don't want to say what I was thinking out on the air because the guys we play against in this league listen to the show, and I don't want to give away my thoughts and my strategy and everything, but Now you get mad at me. You get mad at me when I look at above your head at the TV and I get distracted. And that's what you just did with that question. Because now I'm distracted. Now I'm like thinking over here, like, hey.
So you're blaming me because you can't switch the topic fast enough in your head.
Yeah. No,
talk
I'm
about
just
the Atlanta Falcons
no,
right
no,
here.
No, no, no. It's not. It's because you asked me something and you made a point, and it got me going down another road where that's what I want to talk about. But I can't because these guys listen, and they're going to use it against me. So what I would do is
the question was
No.
So you don't.
I want to talk Falcons.
Want to share your question because you think your secrets will be how are y'all doing?
Is Travis Kelce tradable? Is the question?
Come on.
Is he tradable in fantasy football? That's the question.
Yeah, he's tradable. He's absolutely tradable.
Because we're talking about it doesn't mean that we have to accept a subpar offer from any of these guys. I'm just saying, is Travis Kelce, should he be on the market right now? High upside, but you know, if you could get a player that's going to be good for the next 6 years, I think that it's probably worth
looking
at.
You let me know if you get a text message during the show. Someone's going to call now that you're...
Aren't we a game above 500?
I think we're 4-4.
Okay, we're at 500.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Hmm. We've had some ups and downs.
We just won by like 100 points.
Yeah, we did. We're hitting our stride.
Yeah. You're
hitting your stride.
That's right.
The Falcons hitting their stride.
Offensively.
Can they continue to hit their stride offensively against the Cowboys, especially when there might be a chance that the Cowboys are going to get back Micah Parsons or Deron Bland?
I am not worried about one of them. Micah Parsons worries me more. I think Micah Parsons is an elite player in the NFL and healthy. He worries. Deron Bland's a good player. He's not elite to me. I see Micah Parsons as an elite pass rusher, and at a speed guy off the edge at times. that does worry me, because that's something, you know, Caleb has been banged up over the last, what, 2 or 3 weeks. And traditionally, speed rushers give him a little bit of trouble. All of that said, I think McGarry might be having his best season. Knock on wood, Dylan, run over, knock on wood.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, recently, Caleb McGarry has, you can tell he's not at full health, but in pass protection, he's actually looked really good. His hands have looked really good. He's got tight hands, good punch. He's hitting guys in the chest. Now, a lot of that has probably a little bit to do with some of the rushers he's faced. But I would be curious. I think the thing for me is, if we were to face a Parsons, which I don't think we will, but if we were to face a Parsons, how would the game plan be different than when we faced T.J. Watt in week one? Because it's very obvious, and we talked about it till we're blue in the face, the week one game plan was not ready for that. And I think that there were some lessons learned on all sides, coordinator, coaches, quarterback, tackle, offense, whatever it is. So I would be curious to see what the game plan would look like for that. But I'm with you. I think Caleb McGarry, even less than 100%, has had one of his best stretches of his career here recently. He's playing good football.
Cowboys are 3-4 now on the season, and it's been a lot of ups and downs for their team. What kind of team are they going to get? Are we going to get when they face the Falcons on Sunday? Here's Coach Raheem Morris when he joined our Dukes and Bell.
That's what the growth mindset is all about, right? You have those losses versus Seattle, and you better take those things and learn those lessons. I think I said a couple weeks ago, every loss you've ever had, you get a lesson from. And we better take that lesson from Seattle and apply it to this week, right? Come out ready to go, fired up, not holding it. You can get humbled in this league really quick.
Sure. Right.
And we all know that. Like, and this is Dallas Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott and guys that play at a high level all the time. And if you think any otherwise, you're fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's a Dak Prescott believer, a CeeDee Lamb believer. And the thing is, I think Dak Prescott's really good, and I've been a Dak Prescott fan, and it seems like there's a game coming at some point this year where he goes off. I just don't want it to be this weekend, right? I just hope that it's not Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
You don't want to be this weekend. I mean, I'm a Dak guy, too. I think Dak is I am at the point now where I am sick of the Dak hate, and I hear a lot of people do it. It's easy to knock him because he's the Cowboys quarterback. They haven't had success in the playoffs, but there's a lot of teams in the league that you don't think Indianapolis wouldn't take Dak Prescott? Is the stability that Dak Prescott's had over the last 8-9 years? I mean, there's a lot of teams. Cleveland, there's a lot of teams that would take a Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
So, you know, not a lot of guys are built like me and Dak, Dylan. That's right. Little W sauce. Little Owl Inn Lager, craft beer, New Realm, Kennesaw State, official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. And don't forget, Tiffany, November 25th, the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. Mike, we don't have a lot of spots available. In fact, if you have a foursome and you want to sign up, you better do it right now because there are only enough room for a couple of foursomes.
Yeah, a couple of foursomes. For another couple of foursomes, didn't we?
That's right. The number is dwindling. It's very small. It's a very small number. Very small. So get over to the 929 Game website. Go to the events page. Tiff.
You know, we had the British accent earlier. You went straight Cinderella Man guy on the mic for the calling the boxing match in the 20s right there. Oh, yeah. Max Bear is going to throw a right hand.
20s announcer. Mike Bell does a good 20s announcers. And how we are coming down the stretch. Okay. We're down the stretch to the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. Only a few more days ago.
Sir, can you say on task?
What? You know, thank you, Tiffany, because some people on the show accuse me of not being able to stay on task, and then they take me right off task.
But I just asked you to.
There are many, many named Will Smith in the world, and two of them have won the World Series in the last 5 years. All seriousness, Will Smith, the catcher, won for the Dodgers in 2020. And then Will Smith, the pitcher, won for the Braves in 2021. 2022, he won for the Houston Astros. 2023, Will Smith, the same Will Smith, was on the Texas Rangers. Our Will Smith, Georgia-born.
Okay.
And then Will Smith and the Dodgers went back. So the fifth straight season that a Will Smith has won the World Series, and not the Will Smith that's getting jiggy with it.
All right. Thank you for the clarification.
Of course, I'm not sure if he gets jiggy with JD anymore because that seems to be on ice. But
That was a wonderful life of Squid.
Don't forget to go sign up for the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, Tiff. Pets for Vets.
When we come back here on the Morning Shift, we'll find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. Stay with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.